Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Get over it. Don't hold a grudge. Get over it.
Why? You say you haven't been the
same since you had your little crack. Get over it, man.
Okay.
All right.
Forget about it.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to everyone. Come on in. Have a seat with us. Join us today. We got Lyric.
Yo.
We got BW.
How you doing?
And I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today. We know we always swimming live from Orange County.
Yeah, man. You know, if you're new to Weekly Dose, our podcast is about having fun as we recap our past week and enlighten your day through laughter. You know, when we talk about the silly, awkward, and embarrassing things we've all done recently. You know, the things that connect us all and make us human, because laughter is the best medicine.
That's right. To all of our listeners, old and new, guys, we love it when you're a part of the show. So join us in the conversation by commenting on each of our episodes on our website, which is yourweeklydose.com.
And send us a message via X or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
You can connect with us on Facebook at yourweeklydose or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Absolutely. We got a cool show for you guys today. Of course, we're going to be talking about Oscars. They're tomorrow night, you know.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot already.
And we're talking about the highest grossing best pick films.
Huh.
All right.
That's amazing.
Yep. And we'll also be talking about maybe certain movies that impacted us, our lives itself.
Okay.
We'll be also giving you the most expensive Barbies out there.
Oh.
And then some of the Oscars' most memorable moments. And we even got a pocket-sized cinema double feature today for you guys.
Double feature.
Oh, man. That's right. So. Get over it. That's all we're saying.
Get over
and not
it,
only can you guys download the show for free from our website, you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show itself. Today's theme song is Get Over It by the Eagles for National Get Over It Day.
What?
That's the reason why.
Oh, yeah.
So just get over it, you bitches. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Just get over it.
And that's gender neutral.
Yeah. So, and don't forget, guys, any of the music that we play here on our show, you can always go to our main sponsor, which is Amazon. Just go to our website, click on the Amazon banner, bookmark it, and shop to your heart's delight. And that way, every time you shop, we get a little ching-ching, and that helps us stay on the air itself. So don't forget, you can go ahead and get any of the Eagles catalogs right from AmazonMusic.com. So simple as that.
So I could buy anything on Amazon through that link, and we get credit for
it? Yeah. So far to date, we made
$102. Oh, that was a long end for two.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, you know, when we get that check in, you know, I don't know. We're going to need two signatures on that check.
Okay. Shop on Amazon. You know. Send me that link. I'm going
to
make sure.
Yeah. All you have to do is go to our website.
Okay.
There's the banner. Click on the banner. Bookmark it. And then shop to your heart's delight.
Bam.
Simple as that. I got my stuff on Amazon. Matter of fact, I just got this new thing for my one of my guitars. So it's a tool for my guitar that uses a Floyd Rose bridge on it and everything. So it's a tool so I can adjust, make all the adjustments on
it. I got a similar looking tool, but it's not for your guitar.
Ooh.
I don't even want to know. Moving on.
Do we want to know? Maybe
pocket
we
size no, we cinema? You
know, no, we don't want to know.
So that's a pretty small tool, but that's what I use, you know.
Was that for tuning it? Was that for picking?
No, this is for like adjusting because there's just, you have to use in like a Allen wrench
tool, basically, to
loosen and tighten certain things. But, and as a matter of fact, Karen and I, we just bought her a brand new Papasan chair.
Papasan chair.
Okay. Not a Mamasan.
Papasan.
That's for different places.
Oh. Yes, it is. The Mamasan is for a lot of different places.
Yeah, yeah. You know about those places.
All the kids.
There's actually one down the street from you, and then one around the corner from you. So, but
my first introduction to Mama-san when I first got to Okinawa, Japan, uh-huh. and I went in a bar, and dude was like, "Nah, man, you got to speak to Mama-san." I'm like, who the hell is Mama-san? Any old lady, any old Asian lady in the bar, that's Mama-san. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yes, ma'am, I got you. I understood. Yeah,
and
yeah.
She hooked you up.
Yeah, Mama-san kept you good, man.
Oh yeah, so Mama-san knows how to keep people happy.
Yeah, Mama-san, yeah. Bad motherfucker.
There's a little charge for it, but she keeps you happy.
Oh yeah. Okay, now I was just turning 21.
Oh man!
There. But see, I got there right. I got there on September 11th, 2001. I got there 4th of July, 2001. My birthday was September 15th. Was my 21st birthday. So 9/11 happened, and I didn't even get to celebrate. I was in Saudi Arabia by.
Like, oh man!
Yeah. But yeah, Japan was a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet.
A lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Get you got your kabuki on.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It was again.
Those are code words, people.
We're going back. We're going over there. Like when we sell this TV show and get the first episode out there. Like when we put the first season out there, we're going to Okinawa. I'm gonna go as a civilian. I gotta go to Okinawa and I gotta go back to Seoul, Korea, as a civilian.
Like, can I go?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. I don't care. I'll be the driver. I don't care.
That's cool. I'm going to need one.
You got to fly the plane.
I'll fly a plane.
No. I'll take care of that one. He's driving, though. He's damn sure driving when we get there. Hell yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? In doing that, let's go ahead and catch up with each other.
Why do you encourage him? Like, you egg him on.
Because it's entertaining.
If they could see what I was doing.
Yeah, that part. That's why I'm like, yo, you just egging him on.
Well, since we're encouraging him, BW, why don't you go ahead and start off? But how was your week?
Oh, man, it was a pretty good week, actually. You know, a lot of news. You know, my son turned 3, so he had to transition to school.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. So he already in school. He transitioned to school, so he went to the next level. So I had him all week, and then that was big. We was preparing for that, having a good time.
So he's going into kindergarten then?
No, he should be. He already he's doing math already.
He's only 4, bro.
He's turning 3.
3, my bad. 3. Grayson's only 3?
He's only 3, bro.
Holy shit.
He's doing math and everything. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't have put him. I would have put him at like 4, almost 5, because he's advanced.
Talking, yeah, all kind of, yeah. So that was pretty fun.
Is he talking trust funds or?
Oh yeah, he got all that.
Okay, all right.
He's talking to me about 401ks and all that shit.
Yeah. Okay, then, yeah.
He was talking about the stock market.
He deserves to go in now.
Yeah, he ain't playing. Yeah, he ain't playing around.
So, so that was doing that and then getting some more information on the show. I found a lot of links on. We about to start being on Alignable and putting our stuff on there. So, just man, keeping the grind alive, staying happy, because keeping the joy in your heart. If you keep the joy in your heart, things can happen in a joyful light because...
No.
Hey. It's too early, man. It's too early.
No.
The joy
Thank you, sir.
See, but that was my weak fault.
That's what I was looking for.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love you. When people give me my energy back, I love it. You know?
Oh, he actually looked up compassion.
Well, you know,
I remember, we got around the homie Chris and we started talking and he said, yeah, compassion. I looked it up and we just kept talking. Oh shit.
In that case, well, we need this for BW then.
Do something about this immediately. Immediately. Harumph, harumph, harumph.
Harumph, harumph.
Harumph. Didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Give the governor harumph.
Harumph. Watch your ass.
Yeah, that could be.
And then I cried because that night I was watching The Last Airbender, and then in that scene, that episode, it was a scene that said, "Compassion is for the weak."
Hold on, like, is that the live action joint? How is that?
It's pretty good. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I finished the season. I'm waiting for the next. They actually ended it where it's supposed to end at the ending.
You know what? I was talking to my
brother.
That's
good, because if they ended at the beginning or the middle, then you're screwed up.
Then you're screwed. That's what the movie did, though. It ended where it was like, well, wait, where's the action?
You know what bothers me about all this stuff is, like, you take people like that. They take Airbender, right? And Airbender's got how many episodes, how many seasons?
Seven, eight
seasons of this shit, right? Mm-hmm. You have something with 8 years, more than that, to draw from, where you have millions and millions of fans who will already come and see it just because it's that. And then you take it and you change it and you fuck it up. And then you get mad at the people because they don't
change it.
No, not this one. Not this one. Yeah. I'm just saying, I've heard that one's done really well.
See, that's the part of the problem, I think, with most things like that overall, is because you've got the material already there. It's already been set in stone.
But you just change it for...
And that's the part that pisses me off.
Like, I'm a big Halo fan, right? I grew up... Not grew up, but when I got to Japan in 2001, after I got back... Okay, I got to Japan in 2001. When I got back from Kuwait in May 2002, mm-hmm. Halo was just coming out, and it was huge. Everybody played it.
Oh, yeah.
Halo's been out for damn near 30 years. The lore's already
there. Isn't
that
scary?
Bruh. Yes, it makes me feel really old. Shut the fuck up. So
how do you think I feel?
Yeah, I know, right? So it's already got the lore. It's got decades already, so they've made a show out of it.
Right.
So I'm going to check it out because I've been playing this since infancy. And they changed so much of it. Like, some happened like 2 episodes ago that completely changed a major part in the overall story. Like, one of the main characters died well before he should have died, because he's an integral part of something. And it's like, okay, the people who you made that for, now they're not going to hate you because you totally changed something. The same thing with Star Wars, they do. Yeah. Same thing with the very first Airbender movie. You take shit and you totally change it to the point where it's nowhere like it was, and then you get mad at the people for not liking it. And I can't stand that's what they're doing right now.
I feel the same way about so many different films, not just the new Star Wars or whatever, but every Batman film that's come out.
They change all them shits.
Because it's like, for me, it's like, I'm a hardcore Batman fan.
Yeah.
And here's the ironic thing, though. I've been a fan since I was a kid, since I was watching the reruns in the 66, you know, Adam West shit. But the thing is that the whole thing with Burton took so freaking long.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, Superman came out in 77. And of course, I mean, that film was great for what it stands.
For what it was, yeah.
For what it is.
Yes,
you
definitely.
Know. But the thing is, though, is that they told that even the first time from the get-go, they told the story properly. Mm-hmm. You know, Batman, they never really told the story.
No,
he was just comedy.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, even if you look at the Burton version, you know, it's like, sorry, that he's already out doing his things.
Yeah, no, the only time they ever got to his backstory was when the Batman Begins came out. That's when you said, like, oh, okay.
Well. The whole Burton Schumacher thing, it took 4 films to tell the story.
Yeah.
Whereas you should just start it off with the story itself. Yeah. And nobody's really told the story about that, including Batman Begins. Because, I mean, yeah, he goes away, but if you follow the comic book, he goes away at 10 years old.
Yeah. Well, I think they did one like that where they told him at 10 and then he came back as an adult. But
The opposite of that is Spider-Man, where they keep telling the same story.
You see him starring over in the same damn spot as a teenager every time.
Okay, all right, real quick, favorite Spider-Man.
Oh, I gotta be racist, Miles Morales.
Okay, be racist.
The first Toby.
Toby?
The very first one.
I enjoyed one.
The very first one.
Nah, I enjoyed it.
He's my favorite. He's the very. Now, the best. No, I'm wrong. The best Spider-Man we had
the new one.
Is Tom Holland.
Yeah, he's the best one for sure.
He, like, when you think of nerdy Peter Parker from the comic book,
yes,
he's the picture. Like, you couldn't get any better than
and
him.
He's still a kid. All the rest of them seem like
that's exactly. The part that yes. I like is that they hired somebody younger.
Yeah.
He looks like Peter Parker. Yeah. Dog. Like, he's the, like, you close your eyes and you think about Peter Parker. Yeah, I'm sorry, but. That's Peter. Like,
especially because when we first meet him in the comics, from my understanding is that, because I'm not a huge Marvel comic reader, but my understanding is that you are, he's a junior in high school when you first meet him.
Yeah, no, he's a child in high school.
16, goes on 15, a trip, 16.
Gets bit by a radioactive spider, and that's it. So he's still a child. And again, Tom Holland, he's the best look around, man. Like,
I love him.
And he fits the nerdy him and the cool him when he turns into Spider-Man.
Yes, right. It is. Yes, it is. He just, it's the overall, his whole energy, everything about him.
Because Garfunkel, what's his name?
Andrew Garfield.
Garfield. I like all three.
He was good Spider-Man. And then Toby was a good Peter Parker Spider-Man, but I didn't like
But
his,
Holland is,
he's they were all good, but Holland, everything came together at the right time.
Here's what it is that I think is that it does give us that 16 or 17 year old point of view of like, oh my God, this has now happened to me.
Yeah.
And I'm going through these emotions. And Holland shows all of that.
Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Also the friends, too. They did get the whole
they
cast.
They
usually cast these old grown looking.
Yeah.
Mary Jane.
I thought it was a little bit different.
Mary Jane, you got to take your social security check here.
But, I mean, each one was good in its own right, so to speak, with it. But Holland.
No, he's the best.
Again, Hasdown's
the best
one.
Spider-Man. He's the best Spider-Man.
Fight
best
me. Spider-Man. Fight me.
I get it up. He's the best one.
Cool. Lyric, how was your week?
It was cool, man.
Wow, where the high pitched voice come from?
No, my week was cool, man. We got
you have helium over there or something or what?
we got a lot of materials done for the show. You know what I'm saying? So we got the deck done and getting some decks for some other stuff, getting them together and just keep it moving forward.
What'd you do Thursday?
Oh, we went to a thank you for reminding me. We went to a I thought it was a networking thing, but it was also like a pre-Oscar bash.
Oh, cool!
So it was pretty cool, man. It was all right. It was okay.
So what big stars did we see at this Oscar bash?
Dun, dun, dun. Hey, you know what? Hold on, wait. Ask the question again.
Yeah. So what big stars did we see? Let's go back to that moment.
I don't even want to say it now. Wow, this is going to sound so bad when I say it.
Yeah, it does.
Corey Feldman.
Who? Can you say that again, please?
Yeah, who was it?
The biggest star that was there.
Who was the biggest star?
Oh, Corey Feldman.
From where?
I'm waiting on the other. No.
Corey.
Yo, it was.
He was in a lot of stuff though back in the 90s.
Yo, he was the king of the 80s. Him and Corey Haim, and like he's still like. Oh, is he? Is he considered like a legend? Like a legend in the business?
I don't think so.
I mean,
would he be
known?
No, I mean, somebody who was
did they thing at their time.
He was like him and the other Corey, like they killed the 80s. Like everywhere you looked in the 80s,
they were everywhere.
They were everywhere. Like, yeah. They killed everything.
But I don't think he's a legend.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. I mean, he's not like.
What the fuck was that? I don't know what my voice was. I was just curious, man. Because I don't know. Like, I don't know. I was just shocked. He was just really, really tiny. You know what?
It's fucked up. He was short.
The only people there I recognize him. And remember Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
The big black ass
dude. Oh, yeah, the super black dude. Yeah.
He was there. The big tall black dude that was hitting people with a club.
Yeah.
He was there. Them the only two.
And he was there hitting people with a club.
Yes, he was. But that's the only people I recognize, man. I ain't recognize nobody else in that motherfucker at all.
That's huge.
And we were looking too. It was me, him, and Chris. And we were looking, man. And now there was no celebrity. Now I'm pretty sure he said right.
We left early.
We left around 10.
Oh, so maybe 10, like 10, somebody 10. Like Tom Cruise came in a little bit later.
Definitely not. No. It was an InfoList event, so you know everybody connected with InfoList, you know, could possibly show up.
So you probably could have had like an Anthony Mackie. Show up maybe, or something like maybe. On that level, yes. But once you get into like Ryan Reynolds type area, nah, ain't none of them coming in an area like that. So, but it was cool. It was
Jake
cool.
Gyllenhaal was on the billboard behind us.
That's bigger than Corey Haim.
Yeah, right. We
and Corey Feldman.
Possibly, yeah.
Oh no, Jake Gyllenhaal? Come on,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Not
come on,
of the motherfucker.
That's a bigger star. Let's see, who do we want to interview?
Man, we got Corey Feldman right here, or we got a 20-foot poster of
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. You know what? Let's go see what the poster thinks. That's fucking retarded, yo.
That was your weak shot.
Oh shit, I got a headache. Yeah, how was your week?
Oh Lord.
Corey, if you're listening, we love you, baby. We love you, we do.
Love you like a whatever. Yeah. No, it was pretty busy though. Because you know, I'm back working 12-hour days right now because working for Yamaha from like 7 to 3:30, and then I've got the teaching gig from 4:30 to normally to like, you know, 8 or 8:15 or whatever. So it's been busy with that. But Yamaha's been good. It's been slow all week until Canada, our counterpart in Canada, decided to do the recall thing early.
Oh, word.
And they said so. My boss, when it calls myself and my I'm going to call her my counterpart, April. Called us both and said, I just got out of a meeting and we need to go live. Now. So 2 days, actually more than that, because we're supposed to start this coming Monday to go live with it, and instead Canada jumped the gun, so now we had to jump the gun too. So awesome. It's been good. We've been since the phones have started, since everything went live, we're starting to get in the recall for the power supply unit. But again, some people are just I'm talking to you right now, okay? Don't be idiots. Don't be idiots, please.
He needs some PSA listening. Music.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, you want to do
PSA music when you do that, yeah.
Hi, this is Sean. I'm talking to you. You know, when you decide to call in to a major corporation and ask for help, make sure that you don't jump the gun on something because, you know, you want to follow directions, basically, is what you want to do. Because if you jump the gun and you decide to cut the cord, so to speak, on certain things that maybe your product is not even a part of, guess what? You just became a moron, and now you have to go out and buy that part again because we're not going to supply you because you did something stupid that you weren't supposed to do just yet.
Yeah, dumbass!
So make sure when you call in that you kind of follow the steps and everything, and have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Thank you. I felt that in my soul.
Yeah, I was in tune with you on that one, too. I'm in tune with you.
Because already, I mean, it's like we need to verify something first and to make sure that you fall within the production dates. And don't verify it yourself, but people are already doing it and then already cutting the cord, literally, because that's what we're instructing them to do, and then we'll send you out.
That's right.
So people are like just assuming, oh, okay, I got it this one or whatever, I'm going to cut it and give me a new one. Well, yours falls outside of the thing, so yours was okay. You didn't need to cut the cord, sir. Well, what do I do now?
Buy
another one, sir. Yeah. Well, you're not going to supply me one? No, sir, because you were supposed to do this first.
Well, you know, common sense. You know.
Oh, people, it goes out, man.
Yes.
It absolutely. Goes out.
Customer service gives you deal with the best in humanity.
But the customer is always right.
That they're a moron. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that one, actually. Yeah. Customers are usually... Most customers don't know what the fuck they want until you tell them what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want, man.
But so far, it's been going good. And then Friday, yesterday, man, oh, God, it was such a long day because I worked with Yamaha, then I went to go teach a bit. And then I had rehearsal last night with a band. I'm helping out a buddy of mine playing bass for him. So we've got a show tomorrow, if anybody's interested, in Southern California, to come on out and to come and see. It's going to be at Highway 39.
What kind of music y'all playing? Y'all cover? The cover band?
It's a cover band.
Okay.
And, I mean, we're doing some of the typical stuff, like Eagles and, okay, you know, we're doing Fleetwood Mac and stuff. Ooh. But there's some other stuff that it's like I've never touched before.
What song from Fleetwood Mac?
We're doing Dreams.
What about Eagles?
So Eagles, I think we're doing Take It Easy and okay, Tequila Sunrise, I think.
Ooh, okay.
So, but it's like, I mean, we're doing stuff from like the Zombies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that I've never touched before. We're doing some deep Bob Dylan stuff that I've never heard before.
Yeah, I've heard some of the Zombies. It's not really my bag.
Yeah.
It's not really my bag. I don't really dig into it like that, but I understand.
Yeah,
it,
it's that late 60s, early 70s kind of vibe, yeah, whatever. Something that's kind of cool, you know. I mean, it definitely makes you feel like you want need to smoke a joint. That's for damn sure.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's for damn sure. So, but yeah, so we got the show from like 10 o'clock to 1. We're doing it. It's for a car show.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing. So it'll be fun. I'm excited, you know, and get to sit there and play it off the cuff, so to speak. But we had rehearsal last night just to kind of go through them,
yeah,
you know. So, and I get to sing a song, so they let me sing a song. So I'm doing Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
Oh, word.
So, okay, yeah. So it'll be fun. So I'm excited. So we had, but oh God, yesterday was just a long day, man. Yeah, woke up at 6, worked from 7 to 3:30, then worked from 4 to 6, and then 6:30 to, I think we got done at 10 last night.
See, what he just explained is the Southern California grind.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't stop.
Yeah, you don't.
Keep going, yeah.
And I didn't even have dinner until afterwards. And then I was so tired that, honestly, I didn't get to work on the show until this morning.
It'd be like that, I understand.
Yeah. So I was like, well, what the hell are we going to talk about? Well, I know Oscar's going to be one thing, but that's about it. I don't know what else. Had to wake up and go out. And earlier, you know, when we were playing the theme song, I kind of popped something. And so I got my wake-up juice. Wake-up juice for me because Lord knows I need it right now. But I thought it's been pretty good. The week was really good. So
That's good.
Absolutely. Well, should we jump on to what's trending?
Oh yeah, man.
I think so. I think these are going to be pretty simple, pretty easy. So,
what's trending? What's trending?
All right. Well, for starters, Freaky Friday. Yep, Freaky Friday, that lovable movie that was made only twice. Well, they're actually going to do a sequel now.
Another one?
Well, it's going to be a sequel.
To
so,
which one?
The second one.
The second one.
So with Jamie Lee Curtis, yeah, and Lindsay Lohan. So it's happening. So on Andy Cohen Live, Lindsay Lohan confirmed that a Freaky Friday sequel is definitely in the works.
I bet you already know what's going to happen.
What?
Now, Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be the grandmother. Lindsay Lohan is going to have her own daughter, and she's going to fucking switch now.
Or maybe the granddaughter and the grandmother.
Yeah.
That would be funny. But that's not Hollywood. Hollywood's not funny like that, so.
I think.
Oh, they did it once.
Yeah.
They did it once with George Burns called, was it 18 again?
That would actually be cool if the grandmother, but that's what's going to happen. It's either going to be her or Jamie Lee, but they're going to switch with the child. I
yeah.
guarantee that.
Happens. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When Absolutely. It's Freaky, it's Friday. That's when I watch.
Yeah. Join us on Pornhub.
When I was little, I used to biggest crush on her, Jamie Lee. When I was younger.
Oh, dude.
First time I saw her in Trading Places.
Oh, yeah.
With Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. I was like, yeah.
And then when she came back in True Lies.
Yes. Yes. That whole scene. Oh. Yeah, she'd have got it right there.
You know, when she falls. When she falls, whatever, when she does that dance. That was actually an accident. She actually did fall. And they left it in there, which I thought was really cool.
Because people don't realize she's got comedic roots. Like she started doing comedy first, and then she went. And
then she became the screen queen.
But she's funny as shit, dog.
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably still smash her right now just because it's Jamie.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely.
What do you mean by smashing the like button on her videos when he watched it on Amazon Prime?
No, we're talking about having sex with her.
A little bit.
That's what we're talking about. Yes, we would smash Jamie Lee Curtis.
Don't need you to fucking politically correct what the fuck we saying, man.
What's wrong with you?
Everybody know what the fuck I'm talking about. You want to try to sugarcoat it. What's our favorite? You know what? I'm about to say something. Where the fuck we going? What's next? Go ahead.
You got it. Okay. Well, anyway, so Freaking Friday, it's going to be coming. So when she was asked about it, yeah, they're going to reunite with Jamie Lee Curtis. Even Jamie Lee Curtis said that there is definitely going to be something in the stars. With it, and she goes, we won't say too much about it. In November, back in 2022, there was rumors on it. But Jamie Lee Curtis also confirmed on the Today Show that there's definitely some chatting about bringing back the film and doing something fun with it.
And she had a recent career resurgence anyway. So
Jamie Lee?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she's ever had a resurgence. I think she just kind of kept going. It's just a matter of her
choosing
her. We'll
put herself back in the light. Because she always keeps going, but she'll do a movie that'll put her like in the front again. Or not in the front, but make her more visible.
Well, she got nominated for the Academy Award last year and everything. So, you know, it's one of those things where you don't know. But I know she's very particular about what she picks, though.
Oh, she's dope, man.
Oh, she's awesome. I love her. I love her. Jim Parsons and Mian Bialik are going to appear in Young Sheldon finale. That's right. They're going to be reuniting for the series finale. Parsons and Bialik will be reprise their roles from their Big Bang Theory characters, Sheldon Cooper and Amy Fowler, for the CBS spinoff's final on May 16th. The network announced it on March 6th.
They got a good 7 years out there, bitch, didn't they? How long have they been on there? Like 7, 8 years.
Yeah, the details of their appearance are being kept under wraps for now, though. But the two actors last appeared on the big screen as their characters who tied the knot in season 11. God, that show went 11 years, man.
Now, have you ever watched an episode of Big Bang without the laugh track?
No.
Not that funny. It's a lot of shows like that after you remove the laugh track.
Laugh track.
Yeah, it's not really. I've seen a couple of episodes. Like some of the Big Bang stuff was funny, but a lot of the stuff, no, the laugh track made you laugh.
Made you laugh, yeah.
And it's the same thing with Friends. Like if you remove a lot of the laugh track with Friends, it's not really that funny.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of things with Friends I can relate to.
Yeah, Friends is kind of funny.
No, it's funny. I said, but some of the stuff, you remove the laugh track, yeah.
Big Bang Theory is just the grown up Dexter's Laboratory.
Probably. No one doubt it.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
The breakout was obviously Sheldon Cooper. He was absolutely the breakout. Like, his character was the star. Like, I can't even front. I like the show. And the main reason you watch is because of him, because he's just so fucking uncomfortable that he.
Everything.
Yeah. Like, Jim Parsons, he played that role, dog.
Oh,
like,
he did beautifully.
If he ever gets typecast, you can't be mad. That's like Luke Skywalker, brother. You're forever going to be Sheldon Cooper.
Well, like, Jim Parsons is even in the movie Hidden Figures. And he plays a similar character.
Because right now, like, you know what? It's kind of like he's going to have to play the Lisa Kudrow role. Lisa Kudrow, she did so good as Phoebe. Everybody wanted her to play that dumb blonde. And then she did it. But after a while, she got so good. It was like, all right, no. If you want me, I'm not doing that role. I'm doing this role. And then people gave her other shit. You can see what she do. He's going to have to do the same thing. Like, no, you're Sheldon. You're going to have to keep doing something similar until you find something where it just completely shatters their perception.
What you're doing. Well, and I think that's for a lot of actors who fall into these iconic roles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, what's his name? Harry Potter. Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, but
he did something really smart. Was almost like immediately when he was done or in between, started to do other things right away. So he wasn't stuck immediately as.
That's how you have to do it, man. If you don't, you're forever going to be like even what's her name, Billy Ray Miley Cyrus. Like,
yeah,
like she went the hardcore route. She totally separated herself, but she had to separate herself from that image you knew from the Miley Cyrus show.
Yeah.
Hannah Montana. So that's what you have to do, man. Like, you got to, once you get pigeonholed, you have to do something that's
drastic. It's hard in the industry. Because, I mean, some people who got pigeonholed, like, a good one is Henry Winkler.
Yeah, he did.
Got pigeonholed big time. But yet, if you saw other things that he did, even during the Happy Days thing, he's an amazing actor.
Yeah, but when you get a character and, like the Fonz, like what could you go do?
Jaleel White,
and that's all.
Jaleel White and Urkel, like yeah. He should have stopped doing Urkel like decades before. But yeah, you just all you see is that character.
Yeah, and it forced Henry to go into more producing. Mm-hmm. You know, because he couldn't get a job as an actor.
Because when we see you, we just see this now.
Yeah. Hey. And then thank God for Adam Sandler for casting him in certain things,
a
too.
Waterboy and stuff like that.
Yeah, because he's going, oh, yeah, Henry. You know, yes, he can do other shit, people. Yeah. One of my favorite things with Henry Winkler is an American Christmas tale, Carol. So it's basically a Christmas Carol, but set here in early America in the New England era.
Oh.
And he does a beautiful job. And he did that while he was doing Happy Days.
Yeah, but that's not going to, yeah, that's not going to matter.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, though, but he did it during, out of the C. Scott one, the original, I love the Henry Winkler version. It is so
You know
good.
Somebody else who fell into that and it stuck with them for like 30 years? Ed O'Neill. You ever seen Married with Children? Dude that played Al Bundy.
Yeah.
He was in, it was some movie he was actually in and he got cast in and it was a very serious movie. And his part got cut on the cutting room floor because they were like, the movie was so serious. And then his character, he shows up to save the day. But when everyone saw his character on screen, they instantly started laughing because the only thing they could see was Al Bundy. And he didn't break that until Modern Family came out.
Right.
Yearly. Sometime again, man, it's just the level of the character you're doing. Sometimes you have to do something completely
different,
shattering, just to break out that character. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, moving on with Hollywood stuff here. Of course, I don't know if you guys have heard all of this, but the Rust Armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, has been found guilty. Shocking. Shocking. Please, bitch. The New Mexico jury found Rust Armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed guilty of involuntary manslaughter, but not guilty of tampering with evidence on Wednesday after deliberating for just two and a half hours. So now the 26-year-old faces up to 3 years in state prison and will be sentenced at a later date. The judge ordered that Gutierrez be taken into custody and held under until sentencing. Sorry about that.
Was she locked up before then or was she at home?
No, she was locked up before
then. She's going to get all 18 months.
So
there's no way she's going to get the entire time.
She's going to get time served.
There is no time served. They just arrested her ass. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like she's whatever that is, this is an example. She's going to get all 18 months.
Yeah. And the jury was definitely convinced that Hannah's actions were careless, neglecting for the safety of the actors and crews, and also thoughtlessness, too, as well.
Probation.
I briefly talked about this, whatever, throughout, since ever this hit, or whatever, but that's what an armorist is supposed to do, is be there for the safety. And I watched another podcast regarding it, and absolutely, she was just so careless
When we were in theater school, one of our combat teacher, Henry Layton, shout outs to Henry, he's like big on safety. So when we did our first, the first play me and him did together where we had a gun, there was a gun involved in the production of the play. And it was a fake gun, hardcore plastic gun. You couldn't even pull the trigger. But nah, man, Henry treated that motherfucker like it was a real thing. Even just for that production, we saw how it was supposed to go. And then I looked at some of the stuff with this and like, yeah, old girl was stupid careless. Like she shouldn't even have that job.
And that was the thing, because there was a podcast that I saw where the guy had some footage from the court. And where they showed behind the scenes footage of how she was interacting with people and carrying the weapons. And they had another expert armorist come in and say, yeah, she's not doing it right. It's supposed to be done this way. I don't know why she has a fanny pack with the blanks. Those should be locked up somewhere else. And even though Alec Baldwin was pushing for certain things, he said, that's where you need to step back and say, hold on. Yeah, you're the boss, but at the same token, I'm in charge of safety.
Yep.
And I think she was too intimidated by that to do it.
Around. Yeah.
And then, of course, the prosecution also kind of put blame also on the supplier of the ammunition.
Nope. The only person who's responsible is the armor.
Well,
they're not the only person, but
they're looking at that too, because apparently the supplier has a reputation.
I did see that.
Of mixing live ammo with blanks.
I did see that part.
So there's going to be that. And but no, hers was total neglect all the way around.
Even if they mix live ammo, like, don't get me wrong, mixing live ammo with the blanks, really ridiculous. But at the same time, even if that had happened, if they were doing proper gun etiquette, there's no way she would have gotten shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no way. Exactly. Yeah, that's my whole thing, too. Because, yeah. I mean, I own the type of guns that Alec Baldwin was using on that set. And
if they use gun safety, no, there's no way.
There's no way.
There's no way. There's no way impossible.
Man. Yeah. So, but this trial now is going to definitely make an interesting trial for Alec Baldwin, because he's now up again for involuntary manslaughter up in July. So all the testimony and everything here and the film footage they used or whatever, I saw some stuff that it's going to put him in a bad situation.
Oh, yeah, he'll probably get made an example of, too.
Yeah. Which also now also will change things with SAG on how actors will handle guns and everything, and now that they're responsible if something does. But but I think, because I've been keeping a very, very close eye on this whole case since this incident happened, and there was so many safety guidelines that were bypassed that it would have totally prevented this from ever happening. Last note, though, is that Hannah Gutierrez Reed, her father was supposed to be called up to as a defense and as a witness and everything, because her father is a very famous armorist in the industry. He's done everything from Young Guns 2, Tombstone, Yuma, even the most current one of Magnificent Seven. Mm-hmm. He's done all of those films. Not one incident. And the reason why she got hired was because of her father.
Yep.
But the thing is that he was on the witness list, though, but was never called up for whatever reason.
Yeah, they don't want him to go witness against his own daughter.
Possibly. Yeah, but he was for the defense, though. That was just it. But they still didn't call him up for whatever reason, so.
The bottom line is she was the armor. It was her responsibility to make sure nothing like that could happen, and she failed.
She failed big time. All right, and lastly, guys, on what's trending, Steve Lawrence, the guy who doesn't even know who the hell this is, maybe, maybe not. This generation doesn't know a whole lot of things. But basically, Steve Lawrence has passed away at the age of 88. The charismatic Grammy and Emmy-winning crooner, that means a singer, who delighted audiences for decades in nightclubs, concert stages, Broadway, film, television appearances, died this past Thursday. He was 88 years old. He died here in Los Angeles, complications of Alzheimer's disease, unfortunately, the publicist announced. He partnered with late Edie Gourmet. Who's that? Google it. You'll find out. They were husband and wife for 55 years and a very popular singing act themselves. And, of course, with his boyish good looks, silky voice, the breezy personality, Lawrence broke into the show business when he won a talent competition on Arthur Godfrey's CBS show and signed with King Records as a teenager. Can you believe that? Man, can you imagine being signed that young?
Yeah, spending 70 years in the business.
Yeah, yeah. So here's a little bit of tribute here on Steve Lawrence. If you don't know who the hell he is, Google him, because he is a legend.
Your name means love to me.
Steve Lawrence of the singing duo Steve and Edie has died. He was 88 years old. Steve died Thursday from complications due to Alzheimer's disease. Hollywood reacting to the loss of the Grammy winner. Carol Burnett calling Steve one of her favorite guests, saying she considered him family.
I want you to know that I love you very much.
Oh, my darling, I love you too.
Bob Newhart remembering his close family friend, saying, "Rest in peace, dear friend. We'll miss you always." And longtime friend Dionne Warwick telling E.T. her heartfelt condolences go out to his loved ones.
We kiss in a shadow. We hide from the moon. Our meetings are few and over too soon.
Steve and his late wife, Edie, who died in 2013, were top-selling artists throughout the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Time may tell me that your love is untrue. Still I'll go loving you.
The couple performed together up through the 2000s and also dedicated much of their time to philanthropy.
Edie and I have backed the Carousel Ball personally, professionally, and financially for several years. I think they're doing wonderful work. Barbara, in particular, has been a pet charity of us for a long time.
She's amazing. She's absolutely
a very dedicated, wonderful woman.
When Steve wasn't busy with music and charity work, he was putting his efforts into acting, starring in 1980's The Blues Brothers.
I don't think you guys are going to gross dollar one, but if you do, I want to taste it again, okay?
Thanks, Maury.
And later, making a brief appearance on Bob Newhart's series, Bob.
Well, Bob Newhart is very unique in a lot of ways. He's a unique comedian. He's a unique individual. And the warmth and sincerity that he has in his comedy is obviously people relate to it and have related to it for many series. Bob is a very special guy.
A private funeral will be held for Steve, the family requesting that, in lieu of flowers, donations be made to alzheimersla.org/slash/s Lawrence.
Yeah, there you go, guys. Yeah, definitely a living legend gone, man. And, God, we're losing so many of them, too. It just amazes me.
Yeah, man, most of these people now, they're pushing 70, 80, 90 years old. You know what I'm saying? So... yeah, it's a damn shame.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think all of us, you know, can say, hey, at least we lived in a generation where we had these kind of entertainers, you know, to go back and look at and so forth. Of course, BW's looking at it going, who the fuck is that?
No, we're looking at the screen right now.
Oh, another one? Yeah. good thing I pulled the lever down, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, hey, look at that pose. Hi, how you? I'm eating Cheetos.
What the fuck is that? Anyway,
so there you go. So, unfortunately, another legend lost. But that is what is trending.
You know, I don't know why I thought, like, it was, I thought Dionne Warwick had passed away.
You thought Dionne
Warwick? I want to say that now.
You thought Dionne passed away?
Yeah, I thought Dionne, oh, shit, she's still alive. Like, I feel bad. I wasn't trying to be mean, but like, oh, shit, okay, damn, good. I don't know why I thought she passed.
Still look good, too.
Generally bad, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Grandmama look good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, it's also National Barbie Day, too, as Word. Well. So we've got a list for you guys. If you guys are Barbie collectors, this is going to be very important and kind of shocking for you guys on some of them. So what do we got here, BW?
All right. The most expensive Barbie dolls. You need to get that. Oh, yeah. Good job.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to wait for the drop.
Aren't you glad you came into the show today?
Hold on. All right. The first one up today is from 2010. You can get that Lorraine Shorts Barbie. This Barbie, created by jewelry designer Lorraine Shorts, has red hair and is adorned with diamonds on diamonds on diamonds worth over $25,000.
What the fuck are you doing?
The kicker, the doll was only sold for $7,500 at an auction.
Y'all hear him dancing at the same time he's saying this shit?
Okay, now I understand why we need to go on YouTube.
I told you. Man, what's the next one, man?
Wow.
This next one on the list is the Pink Diamond Barbie that was made in 2013. Uh-huh. The designers David and Philip Blonde created the Pink Diamond Barbie for the Blondes New York Fashion Week Spring 2013. With the help of Bill Greening, Mattel's leading designer. The dress is adorned with rose and pink diamonds. Hence the name. Oh, of course, you know, it's OFC, it's different brand. Oh, my bad. And was auctioned off for $15,000. That's a lot of money for a Barbie, the Pink Diamond Barbie. Get you one. Okay, this next one on the list is from 1959. So this was an oldie. This is a throwback. So this is the original Barbie. Hi, hello, let me introduce you for the first ever Barbie. Released in 1959, the original Barbie features blonde hair, blue shadow, red lips, gold hoops, and a striped black and white swimsuit. If you're lucky enough to find holes on the bottom of this Barbie's feet, congrats! That means it's the first edition, and you can fetch up to $27,450. The next one on this list is from 1999, De Beers 40th Anniversary Barbie. Iconic diamond jewelry store De Beers paired up with Barbie to create this 40th anniversary doll in 1999. But this doll is not like any old regular Barbie. In fact, the belt is made of 160 diamonds, courtesy of De Beers. Oh, and it's worth $85,000. The next one on this list is another one from 2010. Stephanie Cantori Barbie.
This is straight.
Hold your breath, because I'm about to introduce you to the most expensive Barbie ever sold. Say hello to the Stephanie Cantori Barbie, released in 2010 and created to raise money for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. The kicker, the Stefano Cantori Barbie design.
The Stefano Cantori Barbie design.
A.K.A. Stefani, necklace was created with an emerald-cut Australian pink diamonds and sold at an auction for... Can I get a drum roll, please?
Oh, absolutely. Hold on here, sir. Let me get one drum roll for you. Oh, wrong
give,
one.
Give me a guess.
$100 million.
And it was sold at an auction for...
Wait a minute. I'm saying $20 million.
You have to learn how to walk.
$302,500.
What?
That's all? $300,000? Crazy what? For a Barbie.
What do you mean? $300,500?
For a piece of plastic.
And it was made in 2010, so that wasn't you didn't even
wow,
have
that
it
wasn't
that
even
long.
That long ago. Wow.
But it's because of the diamonds. It's because it got the necklace on it, it's emerald cut diamonds on it. So it's really kind of... faking the, you know what I'm saying? It's the diamond on it. It's not
just paying for the necklace.
Yeah. But if you have it, you got a couple bands in your pocket.
For real.
Wow. How much was it? 300 what?
$302,500.
Wow. $302,500.
Yes. $1,500.
Thank you.
Just round it up to $305,000, basically. That's what I was saying.
Well, yeah.
That's an awful lot of money, man, for collectors.
And that's not even if you get a signature or something on the case or something, or it's in perfect making.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Sir.
Wow.
That's at an auction, too. So now that somebody bought that, now it's worth...
It could be worth more later on.
It should be worth more.
Of course, it's going to appreciate
it. Yeah.
That's crazy for a Barbie.
Have you guys collected anything or whatever, like when you were kids or even now? Or
I used to collect baseball cards and stuff like that. My little brother has a big collection. And then other than that, just the vinyl my pops got. That's it.
That's it, the vinyl? We've talked about that.
I've tried.
And comic books, too.
I've moved too much to ever keep anything. So by the time I have a collection, I got to move, and then I got to hold that in there. You know, when you're traveling and stuff, you got to keep this box of stuff. It's like, man, I can't keep. Then you leave it somewhere, and then you go back and be like, where's my book?
Yeah, your shit gone.
I had a music collection like crazy. Because I used to, we used to go overseas and go shopping in New York and stuff. So we'd go buy all the music.
Yeah, because when you go overseas, you definitely want to go to New York.
So when we go overseas, my bad. We used to have a clothing store in overseas in Germany. So we used to shop in New York. So we used to buy music all the time. We had all the music, and I lost that. So, but that's the only thing I can collect. And notches.
Notches? How's that going so far?
I mean, I got a good list.
You got a good list?
A pretty good list.
Uh-huh.
That's
sure?
That's the only sexism I'm going to be involved in with you fellas.
Don't.
Outside of you.
No.
Back in the days.
Like yesterdays.
Oh shit.
Oh man. For me, it's growing up, it was Star Wars. for me.
You got
all the action figures. That's what it was. And
you got all the Star Wars, you say?
Dude, I've got so many Star Wars figures. I mean.
You still got them?
Oh, yeah.
Most of them you probably still. And you had them since you was a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So some of them sitting in the package, all right?
Well, not the originals, no. But I'll tell you this quick story. And listeners, I've heard it before. My grandfather took me to go see Star Wars for the first time.
Oh.
And so over at the old, well, not old, but at the, well, it's still there, though. But an older version of the mall, the Cerritos Mall. There used to be the old, you guys might remember, the old Woolworth and Wilco stores.
Okay.
They were kind of like a drugstore kind of thing. I don't know if they were out there on the East Coast. Here, but, okay. So they were out here, and we had to go through that to get to the theater inside the mall. So I immediately, in the toy section there, I saw the Star Wars figures. And I said, oh, Dad, well, I want to get them. He goes, you haven't even seen the movie yet. How do you know you're going to like it or not? Mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, me being, you know, 7-year-old kid, it's like, well, I don't care. You know?
I like it already.
Yeah, exactly. So he said, I'll tell you what. He goes, let's go watch the movie. If you do like it, he goes, I'll buy you your first two. And, of course, I fell in love with it.
Of course you did, yeah.
And the first two figures my grandfather bought me was C-3PO and R2-D2.
Oh, wow.
And I wish we bought a second pack because of what he said. We're at the checkout counter, and he said to me, and I quote, open them up and play with them, but take care of them. These are going to be worth money someday.
He knew it, yeah.
He knew it right away, mm-hmm. You know.
You could tell like a good short film about that experience of being 7, seeing Star Wars in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's iconic.
Yeah, you know. And so I still have the original ones that when I was a kid growing up in a box. They're all open. Wow. But I still have them all. The most expensive one I think I have is from Return of the Jedi. And it's Han Solo in the carbonite. So it's
the carbonite joint.
So it's the carbonite one with where you kind of stick him in behind it, you know?
Yeah. I used to have that when I was little.
But that one is now worth about $500.
Damn.
And that's off the card.
In your conditioning.
In
the way you have it.
Yeah, and that's off the card, meaning it's not in the packaging anymore. Original packaging, dude, there's some that go for crazy money now. The biggest ones.
And you're like, Dad.
Yeah, the biggest ones right now are the Jawa characters.
That whole store out. Yeah.
The Jawa characters, I've heard, I mean, they go up to about, I've heard ridiculous things, but I'm going to say over $15,000.
Yeah.
On the card in perfect condition. Because when they first came out, they had a plastic cape that went over them. And they later changed it to a cloth cape that went over the whole figure.
So the plastic is the correct
one. Is the first one, therefore it's worth money. A lot of people started making their own plastic capes. So they could say, "Oh, well, this is an original one, or whatever, out of the packaging," and that because there were so many fakes out there, they said, "Okay, well, the only ones that are going to be worth money now are the ones on the card, and that's it. Period. Conversation over."
That's crazy. Is there anything out now that's going to be like, 30 years from now, or 50 years from now?
I still collect.
On the movie, and there's been no movie that's been released where because even like Avatar, the action figures aren't
there's no action.
Yeah, no one gives. Well, there are, but no one gives a fuck about them like that. Like it's not that big a deal.
It's not a phenomenon. I think Star Wars was a phenomenon.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But see, that's the thing too is that Star Wars they're continuing. So I mean, they're putting.
Yeah, but
still
the new ones
out,
are shit though. So.
Well. I'm not talking about the movies, though, but what I'm saying is that the merchandising,
the branding,
they're doing stuff from all the different shows also, which is really cool because now we're getting those figures for the very first time as well. So I'm collecting those, but the prices have definitely gone up on, I mean, now
of course.
For a regular, I mean, before, I mean, it was, you were spending $8, $9 on a regular figure.
Is a figure right now?
$24.
$15.
Oh.
Shit.
That's the regular figure.
You know like what I see them pop arts. What are them pop arts?
Which
they stay in the box and you know they just all the characters and they It'd be a whole store full of just the pop art.
Oh, I think I know what he's talking about.
The little action figures with the big head, but they don't move or anything. But they're supposed to stay in the box, and they're supposed to be worth money if you collect one.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I could care less about those. Exactly. But people love them, though.
That's the only thing I can think of right now. It's like, a collectible item that came.
I don't think those are going to be worth money down the road, though. You know, but I do think the Star Wars stuff is still going to be.
When Beanie Babies came out, did you say, "Oh, this is going"?
Yeah, no one saw that shit. The motherfuckers are crazy
for certain ones. Yeah,
yo, yeah, you.
Did you say you like, nice "Oh, you"?
Well, same thing with the Cabbage Patch Kids too.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you don't know, but I mean, there are certain things that are going to take up, but then you got to be careful with it too. I mean, like another collection that my son and I do is because I mean I'm a huge Batman fan, as I said earlier, so. His room is decorated like the Batcave, basically. Oh, right. I've got so much crap on the wall of Batman, everything from figures to cars and stuff or whatever. So our biggest thing right now is collecting certain figures, but then also collecting the Hot Wheel versions of the Batmobiles, the different ones.
Oh,
so we've got a big case in his room that has a shitload of different Batmobiles and stuff. And we always buy in fours. One, to put in the case. So we open it up and put in the case. Three are on the card. And those get put in storage.
I can see that.
I tried to collect Hot Wheels, and I had a whole bag full of unopened Hot Wheels. Mm-hmm. My son used to get a whole bunch of them. And then my oldest son seen them in the bag and opened every one of them. So I just, I was like, just go play with them now.
I mean, there's some money into it, but I mean, not a tremendous amount, though. You know, but there is
like
some money into them.
Hot Wheels unopened.
Oh, no. No, with my family, it was just the comic books and the vinyl and the cars. That was it. Well, the brother was, he was the type of dude, he was buying shit off QVC. Like, he was buying cars off QVC.
Oh, wow.
And buying shit. Like, he had, like, crazy shit.
Buy this gold dollar for $50.
Yeah. I remember the biggest thing. What? I saw my older brother. It was when Shaq was a rookie. Mm-hmm. And one of the most expensive collector cars Shaq did, it was a Beam Team card. It was a Shaq Beam Team card. And my brother used to buy packs of cards.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he bought the whole box and opened the packs up. Look, and he bought this big-ass box and looked through every single pack and couldn't find it. And he got to the very last pack, the very first card in the pack. He opened it up, and it was the Beam Team. And I think back then, this was the early 90s, but back then the car was worth, like,
$600. Wow.
This was back in the 90s. So right now, like, it's probably, but he's got an original Shaq.
I wouldn't doubt if it's over worth a grand now.
I'm gonna look it up.
I wouldn't doubt it. I would not.
With
doubt
that,
it.
You can go to sketchybudget.com and get you an autograph. Yeah. Ticket.
Hey, well, guys, give us a nickel, we'll give you an autograph.
You got an autograph Shaq jersey right now up for raffle.
Yeah.
About right. 1600, yeah.
How Dang, much?
16
right now?
Yeah.
A Beam Team car. Yeah, they got 500. I see 500. I see 600. Autograph ones like 1800.
Autograph for 18. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Tomorrow, guys, is the Academy Awards, of course.
Yeah.
And we've got so many different things to talk about. You know, who's going to win what, who's going to win where, who's going to win why, and all the other cool stuff. But highest grossing best picture films, though.
Okay.
We've got those here with us. And so, I mean, there's so many best pictures out there. Of course, we're not talking about just the highest grossing films in history, but just the best pictures alone. So what do we got, Lyric?
So for number 10, we have My Fair Lady in 1964. All right.
Okay.
Romantic musical tells the story of Henry Higgins, a pretentious phonetics professor who aims to transform Eliza Doolittle, a working class girl, into a member of high society.
Huffington Hoffman.
So back in the 60s, this movie made $549 million.
That's a lot of money back then.
Nice.
Up until now, it's made total. Yeah, $500. Yeah. It's crazy. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Mm-hmm.
Conclusion to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Show Frodo and Sam reaching Mordor to destroy the ring. $563 million.
Is that bad?
Around the World in 80 Days, made in 1956. $591 million.
Jeez. Now that surprised me that we're going back that far though, and they made that much money back.
Inflation,
then.
Baby.
I love inflation. That though.
Yeah,
I love that. That's awesome.
I the top three, I knew what they were, and yeah.
You did not.
I did.
Shut up, yeah, I did.
Is Forrest Gump. 1994 made $719 million. Not surprised. Mm. The Godfather.
Ah, great film.
72, $722 million. Now, The Sting, starring Robert Redford.
Oh, yeah, great
1973, $815 million.
Really?
Up to date, it's made $815
million. Wow.
Ben-Hur, was not surprised. I know it drew a lot of money back then, but made in 1959, it's grossed $896.
That's an epic film.
Yeah, that's an epic film.
That's an epic.
Because that probably costs, like, comparatively, probably like $100, $200 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Number three, Titanic, made in 97. We all know this one. It's the highest grossing film ever. Even right now, it's still the highest grossing film. Yep, 1.24 million. God damn. Number two, yeah, Titanic, 1.24 billion.
Yeah, okay, billion.
Billion. I thought you said million.
My bad.
Billion.
Number two is The Sound of Music, made in 65.
Really? No way.
Yep, 1.3 billion.
Wow.
Killed it back then. Because you got to think, it pulled in, I think this movie pulled in like 100 million back then. Or like 80 some, 90 some. Like, even back in the 60s, it was a huge.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that, I mean, that outdid inflation. Titanic, though. But wow.
Inflation, man, I ain't surprised at all.
It did. Titanic's number one.
No,
he just said Titanic's number three.
Titanic's number three?
The number one movie.
For Best Picture now, mind
you.
Oh,
okay, yeah. Okay.
The number one movie for Best Picture. I'll give you one guess. You know who it is.
I do.
Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind.
Really? 1939, that thing came out, right?
With inflation, 1.85 billion.
Wow.
That's how many people went and saw it back then. And when you go for inflation, yeah, dog, 1.85 billion.
Holy cow. What? What are we throwing away the key for?
No, whatever he's throwing away the key for, let him shut the fuck up. Don't worry about him. He good. Don't worry about him. He's okay. But no, yeah.
That really surprises me, though.
It don't with me, man, because Sound of Music and Gone with the Wind, those were both epic films back then.
Very true. Epic very, very films. True.
They spent stupid money. And, you know, those were films that were kind of like the first of their kind, I guess, being that epic on that grand a scale. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, they're going to make it back there. What the fuck is the deal, bro?
But you know what? You're right, because we don't see those kind of movies that much anymore.
No. And yeah, for those times coming out, like Gone with the Wind, an epic spanning like that, and then it was a beautiful film to look at. The cinematography was nice. The colors were vibrant.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They were just unseen when they came out.
I think the last time we saw a film like that, and correct me if I'm wrong, and this is just off my memory right now, but that type of big epicness, you know, outside of recreating, because I know they redid Ben-Hur. I don't know what the hell for.
Because we got to redo everything in Hollywood.
Stupid asses. But was Gladiator, though?
Yeah. Gladiator was a big epic.
That was a big epic film itself, you know, and I thought
that's not what you want. That's not what you want.
Are you not entertained? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Gone with the Wind, it's always in the top list for the most lucrative films, like not just Best Picture, but overall film ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always in there, because when you adjust for inflation, it kills you.
Man, cute. That's amazing, though. Speaking of films and everything, Carson, again, we're talking about the Oscars tomorrow. What movies have impacted you guys or your lives or whatever? Like, wow, it left a big impression on you.
I don't have a movie that per se left a big impression on me. I just have movies that, like, I always remember, and like I remember when I saw this movie. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm a child of the 80s, so like,
or even something that maybe you got a close connection with that you can really.
Oh man, the first Predator movie.
You felt like the monster
when you looked in the mirror.
So anyway,
you want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
So what was that? What was I talking about again? Originally, what was it about? Well, oh, movies. Yeah,
movies that have affected you.
I don't have movies that really affected me. It's just movies I remember watching a lot when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So like,
yeah, Predator.
Like yeah, because I remember when Predator came out. Man, I was in Memphis, Tennessee. I was visiting my father. My father lived in Memphis, and I remember HBO played that shit on TV all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so I love old school action movies like that one, Terminator 2. I don't have any movies like that that mean something like that to me like that.
Wow.
That affected me like that. Yeah.
What about you, BW?
I got two, baby. You know.
Curious George.
All dogs go to heaven.
Curious George.
No, all dogs go to heaven. You're close.
Really?
Yeah, All Dogs Go to Heaven was my... When I was, you know what I'm saying? No, Charlie.
Oh, God.
I like that. We went from like, I got nothing to you. All dogs go to heaven.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Well, as a moviegoer, you know, when I watched Hotel Rwanda, that kind of changed me. But
really?
Yeah.
You know, I can't watch. I don't like watching movies like that no more.
It changes
because they
mindset.
Yeah, I don't
see
like
how they use.
Like
they
that.
See how they use you and then put you against your own.
No, of course. I just yeah.
I was tearing up that whole movie.
For me, I think the biggest ones that have impacted me the most. One is The Godfather.
Okay.
Just because of the way I feel like I run things personally, you know, within certain things like the podcast or the band or whatever. I treat it like The Godfather. Once you're part of the family, you're part of the family. I keep you in, you know. So that there's certain life lessons there. You know, you keep family business within the family, so to speak.
Of course.
You know, you play everything close to the chest. Another one, and not because of its comedic thing or whatever, but because of what it did for me and my father, which was Back to the Future.
Okay.
Of course.
There's so many things moment. That are connected with that because, A, it was filmed at my high school, both one and two.
Oh, wow.
Were filmed at my high school. And the storyline is, you know, of course, this boy goes back in time and runs into his parents during their high school years. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, he goes to the same high school that his parents go to. Well, my dad went to Whittier High, graduated in 58. I went to Whittier High and graduated 88, which is 30 years later, difference between my father and I.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So, which was really cool. And I remember, you know, my freshman year, and we're in the what we call the quad of the campus. And there's a fountain there and everything. It's, you know, all the students conjugate. And it was mostly cement. But there were certain parts of it that were painted green. And I never knew why, you know. And as we're walking through one night for back to school night, my dad goes, you know why those are painted green, don't you? And I said, no. I said, I always have no clue. That's a stupid idea. Why paint this part green, not the whole thing green? Or because only certain parts of the cement were painted green. He said, because that's where the grass used to be.
Oh, wow.
So they decided to paint it green.
Paint it green.
Paint it green. Wow. And, you know, take out the grass and paint it green. Wow. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to be real good.
Wow. Okay.
You know. So
the
that's another one.
Can be greener on
priorities.
Forever. So, you know, I got films like that. And then, you know, I've got films where it just for like the pure comedy thing of it and the I think the brilliance of it, one of my favorite films is The Princess Bride.
100%.
You know, you cannot go wrong with that film.
I will agree with that.
In any way, shape, or form. Yeah. It is a good film.
Yeah. From front to back.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, so I've had those type of films that have really impacted me an awful lot.
Pursuit
you know?
Of Happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's good to look. And, you know, granted, there's so many really, really good films out there, you know, and somewhere, you know, okay, we're still telling these stories of certain things, whatever, but some of them are a little bit hard for me to watch. Like, I've never seen Shawshank Redemption.
No?
It's yeah. A cool movie. I just, cause,
it's a good movie.
Because of the content.
I got
it. You know?
It's a treasure.
It's like I couldn't get through 12 Years Slave.
Okay, yeah.
I've never seen that either.
You know, and it's, and I understand, great stories or whatever, but it's like, are we kind of over that?
But that one's based on true.
Well, you know, well, so it's.
You know, I have no desire to watch, like, I haven't seen 12 Years a Slave. I have not seen Hotel Rwanda. I have not seen, like, slave movies in general. I'm okay. I don't give a shit about seeing any one of them again.
Hotel Rwanda is not a slave movie.
Well, even just, I know it's not a slave movie, but, like, just that, I don't want to see movies like that anymore. Yeah. I don't need to.
I hear
like,
you.
I'm okay, man.
But you haven't seen them, so. What you mean anymore? You haven't seen. Okay.
You know what? We're going to put you in a room right now and make you watch All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
Oh, I mean.
Make him watch what?
Part 2.
All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
Damn. Yeah.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather go to the corner.
Oh, man. Well, you know, let's see. Did I have? Yeah, I do have it here. Okay. The Oscars, again, it's, you know, such a big thing, such a big impact, and there are so many films that have impacted us over the years and everything. But I wanted to share this thing with you because I thought it was really funny where, you know, those who win or whatever, some have are legend, you know, actors and actresses and so forth, and or directors and everything. But I love this take about after winning the Academy Awards, and this comes from Robin Williams on, like, how things fit then for him. And so here's a brief. And this is on the Graham Norton show. And it's a really, really funny take. I love it.
Wow. Presumably that must be obviously a career highlight. Did it change your life?
No, for like a week. It was like, hey, congratulations. Way to go. Good Will Hunting. Way to go. 2 weeks later, hey, Mork! Just back being that again. So it lasts. I mean, the moment they say your name when you win, English becomes a second language. And I forgot to thank my mother, and she was in the audience. Oh. Yeah, that's, even the therapist went, get out! Like, oh, wow, that was a bit, that was rough for the next few years.
Like, oh, God. Oh,
well, that. How's the award? You came through here. How's the award?
Elijah, you must have had the most amazing night when Lord of the Rings. It was the most Oscar.
Anyway, I just love the fact that he talks about, you know, that, you know, yeah, you're all over the news, you're all over this or whatever, and 2 weeks later, hey, Mork, you know, back to where you began.
Back to normal, yep.
Popeye, right?
It makes sense. It makes sense. Like, you have for, it's like the saying, when you leave and then you go back home, everybody happy to see you because you're there. But give it 2-3 days, and then it's like, all right, man, well, you know. It's good seeing you.
When you're going back.
Yeah, for real. Lord knows I go home after a week. I'm like, all right, man, I'll see y'all in another year.
Yeah.
I can't do it no more.
Well, I've got the top 10, basically, the Oscars' most memorable moments on here. Yeah. And see if you guys agree with this. I mean, some of these are I think,
fairly. Bet y'all know what number one is.
What?
Huh?
What do you think?
Chris Rock? Will Smith smacking Chris Rock?
Let's see. That's number three.
There's no way. What's bigger than that?
All right. Okay. I already know what it is. But you're wrong.
Told you.
But you're wrong. So the first big one here goes back to 2002. This is for the 74th Oscars. And this is when Halle Berry won.
Came on with that shirt on.
Yeah. So let's see here.
Halle Berry in Monsters Ball.
This is the first Oscar for Halle Berry. She garnered rave reviews in 1999 for her Emmy award-winning performance in the lead in introducing.
And of course, that year too, Denzel won for best.
Yeah, but when they both played those characters,
yeah,
to finally win. She don't have an ugly cry.
No, she don't.
Oh, my God.
It does change it, you know, in that aspect. So, and if my memory serves me correct, she was the first black woman to win an Academy Award for Best actress.
Yes.
Yes.
Instead of best supporting, best actress. Yes.
Yeah. For
Monsters Ball.
Yeah, no, but the other actress that won for supporting actress.
Eartha Kitt.
No, before that.
Not Eartha Kitt.
It goes back to a movie we just talked about.
Yeah, Gone with the Wind. Betty. What's her name? Buddy Holly? No.
Buddy Holly? Yeah, right. Buddy Holly.
What's her name? I know her name.
May. Big girl.
May.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Big room. I forget
yeah,
her name.
For, yeah, because she played the servant.
Yeah. Her name right
I
now.
Forget her name.
She could, and she couldn't go. They wouldn't let her
they
in.
They wouldn't let her, yeah.
That's why I was trying to keep my mouth shut when y'all was talking about Gone with the Wind. Yeah.
That's a damn shame.
That whole
era. The next one we got here basically was 1967.
What?
Hitchcock never won a competitive Oscar. Can you believe that? Mm. So after six nods, no wins, the Ray for Irving G. Thorberg Award went to...
Let's be frank about this next award. It means more to us in the motion picture business than it does to those of you in the dental floss manufacturing game. I'm talking about the Irving G. Thalberg Memorial Award. And when it is given, it's given to a man whose pictures have stood out as milestones over the years. The last picture maker to win the Thalberg Award is the genius who will present another this year. His movie milestones include I Want to Live, West Side Story, and The Sound of Music.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think of it, he didn't win.
Mr. Robert Wise.
Like, it's crazy when you think about Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. He won nothing. Like, yo, like, that's nuts, yo. He didn't win any Oscar at all. They gave him, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. The next one here was for, oh, yeah, I think this is right. Right. The All-Stars, the Oscar All-Stars. So this was, I think, for the 70th. Yeah, the 70th ceremony.
Kennedy, Cool Hand Luke.
And what they did was they kind of went through all the different winners throughout the years for 70.
Ben Kingsley, Gandhi.
So these are all
Academy Award winners. Now, I was there for that.
Martin Landau, Ed Wood.
So they're announcing these people, this is like the Hall of Fame.
Well, it was just 70 people that they picked to celebrate 70 years of the Academy Awards. So that's what they just basically did. So they kind of just kind of went through the different years and different Academy Award winners.
Jack Lemmon, Mr. Roberts.
He was funny as shit.
Save the Tiger.
I like him. He was funny as hell.
Carl Morgan, A Streetcar Named Desire.
Yeah, and that's the roles that they won their Academy Award for.
Marley Matlin, Children of a Lesser God.
Her first film and her first award ever.
Damn.
So, yeah. Yeah. And you go through these, and some of these, I mean, these guys are legends.
No, they're like, yeah. That's some expectations for your ass. Your first movie, you win an Academy Award.
All the King's Mask.
Yeah. So that happened back in 1998.
Damn.
So, let's see. Now we move on to 1963.
Yeah, he got like 55 illegitimate kids.
Well,
out, don't
we're in the adrenaline section. There's the knee knocking hour here.
I'm trying to fast forward to.
Oh, wow. The nominees for the best performance by an actor are Albert Finney and Tom Jones. Richard Harris in This Sporting Life. Rex Harrison in Cleopatra. Paul Newman in Her. Sidney Poitier in Lilies of the Field.
Who do you tell he gonna win?
The winner is Sidney Poitier in Lilies.
1963.
First black dude ever win that.
Yep. In a leading role.
Yeah.
And of course it pushed him into a career that would make him, for time, one of the biggest stars in Hollywood.
Trend Sutter, man.
Yeah. One year when I went to the Academy Awards as a seat filler, they said, okay, and this was the year that they did As Good As It Gets in L.A. Confidential and so forth. So it was that year. And they told us, okay, sit here. Just sit here. I didn't realize what row I was in, but I knew I was pretty far down.
Because
and all I saw was a black gentleman.
It is a long.
Another person sitting next to him.
Moment.
A couple, and then two empty seats.
Naturally,
that's all I saw.
To
So after now, I'm sitting down and I'm realizing, oh my gosh, I am in the fourth row. I'm where the money is. You know? So I look over to my right to glance. Well, who did I just climb over? Sidney Poitier.
Oh, wow.
I went, oh, shit.
Wow.
Wow. And I went, okay, you know, because I was trying to realize, I'm realizing, again, where I'm at. And basically in the front row, it was Jack Nicholson and then Helen Hunt and then her husband next to her. So that's when I realized. So I just slowly glanced, looked over to my right. Oh, my God, that's Sidney Poitier. That's Sidney Poitier. That's Sidney Poitier. I touched Sidney Poitier's knee, which was kind of cool. So like, he's like, excuse me, sir. You know. And then leaving on the other end was because after whatever presentation was going, the actress that came back, whose seat I was sitting in, came back. It was Angelica Houston.
Oh, wow.
So I went, okay, you're the Addams Family. You're the get up and leave. Hi, nice to meet you. Thank you. Of course, I'll leave you. This is your seat now and everything. And at the end was Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. That was a good day for me.
That was a real good day.
That was a real good day for me.
That's
you
cool,
know?
Man.
So, yeah, which was really, really cool. So,
yeah, cool.
Very cool. I'm so glad I got to meet Sidney Poitier. So, number six, 1968. I'm going to rush through these here. It was actually a tie for Best Supporting Actress. Believe it or not. And that was between Ingrid Bergman and, I'm sorry, no, I apologize, Barbara Streisand and Katharine Hepburn. They each got a Oscar for that. And that was 1968. 1973, basically Marlon Brando gets the Oscar for Best Actor in The Godfather, but he refuses to show up for it and then refused. Oh, refused to accept it and sent this person who was of the was Shakespeare Little Feather to announce that he would not accept the award due to the film industry's poor treatment of a Native American. So
they booed her on stage.
Yeah, they did.
Booed the shit out of her.
Yeah. Number four was Martin Scorsese in 2007. He did not have an Oscar until then, so finally he won it. So which is really good for him because great director, I think. You know, I don't,
he's awesome. Huh?
Yeah, and he got it for the Departed. So, and the number three spot goes to 1974 when David Niven was doing a segment and was announcing this, and where Ace Streaker then decided to run on stage and go across the stage itself, and while on the air, of course. And, of course, David did a beautiful job in covering this.
Favorite Oscar moment.
Whoops. Let's see here.
The envelope is a very important contributor to world entertainment, and someone, quite likely...
And there's the Streaker.
David Niven just kind of
kept on going. Who was the dude that interrupted him?
It was just some guy...
I remember when that happened.
Let's see.
That was almost bound to happen. But isn't it fascinating that...
I love David Niven's comeback here.
Fascinating to think that probably the only laugh that man will ever get in his life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings.
Okay.
So good. So good. So, and of course, number two...
That's number two.
Is, of course, that happened 2 years ago with Will Smith going up and, of course, slapping Chris Rock, which was just a complete shocker to everybody.
Yeah. He lost a lot of fans because of that, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know they had that exact moment in a Sidney Poitier film? There was a comic on stage saying stuff, talking about him, and he was like, keep talking, I'm going to come up. And went up there, slapped him, went back down. Keep my name out.
For real?
Yeah. Exact same scene.
I had to look that up. That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. But the number one was Moonlight, who won Best Picture. And this goes back to 2017.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was crying.
It's a privilege for us to present the final award of the evening. The films we honor tonight inspired us,
So basically, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway come up.
Gave us hope and joy.
To give us the best picture.
We have changed our thinking.
Well, I think that it could be said that our...
And here, I'm going to skip forward here.
For best picture.
You're impossible. Come on. La La Land.
No, 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 no.
And of course, they found out that was wrong.
La La Land has 14 Oscar nominations this year and is tied for...
To pursue a career in the arts, even though it was a little bit crazy.
Oh, wow.
Arthur Horowitz, you are my fantasy baby. And to my kind, generous, talented,
they get up
beautiful,
now they are. Gotta get
blue-eyed
a
wife
like,
and yeah. creative partner, Julia Hart. Whew.
That would be
you have inspired whose shoulders I've stood for 40 years because she's...
Through here.
Ally Lowy, I'm up here because of you. I love you so much.
They read the wrong thing.
Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Come
big
on,
upset.
This is not a joke. This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
Yeah, that's an upset. Okay.
Yeah.
I think you guys should keep it anyway. Oh, it's Warren. I'm sorry. Guys. This is very unfortunate what happened. Personally, I blame Steve Harvey for this. I would like to see you get an Oscar anyway. Why can't we just give out a whole bunch of them?
I'm going to be really proud to hand this to my friends from Moonlight.
That's nice of you. That's very nice.
How cool were they?
Yeah. I've been heated, though.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, yeah. So that's the number one when... When Moonlight won in 2017 instead of La La Land. So, there you go. Some of the biggest things there for the Academy Awards. All right. Well, we got a few more minutes left. Should we, what's it?
No, no, go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. And so those are, yeah. Anyway, so this we got for the Oscars tomorrow. So some of the biggest memories. Let's see what memories happen tomorrow. We'll find out. But in the meantime... we've got some class, we got some culture, we got something that we like to call pocket-sized cinema. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to a very special double feature of pocket-sized cinema. Today's feature is entitled The Bee Sting. The Bee Sting. The Bee Sting. We open with a young woman finishing up on her golf lessons with her professional instructor. She has gotten pretty skilled at the game to the point where her instructor thinks she's ready for her first proper round of golf. However, not long after she begins her first round of golf, she gets stung by a bee. Unable to bear the pain, that young woman ends up going back to the clubhouse where her instructor was enjoying himself a nice cold drink. Let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy The Bee Sting.
What are you doing back so early? Is there something wrong?
Well, I just got stung by a bee and it really, really hurt.
Yikes. That would probably hurt pretty bad. Say, where exactly did the bee sting you?
Between the first and the second hole.
Oh, if that's the case, then your stance is too wide.
Yeah. Welcome to intermission. Yeah, intermission.
first joke. Did you get it?
It's okay. I think the actor who played the girl did an awesome job.
And now for our second performance. The next few features entitled The Driver's License. The Driver's License. We open when a son and his mother are having a discussion, with the boy asking his mother,
Mama, how old are you?
Son, it's not polite to ask a woman her age.
Okay, Mommy. Then can you tell me how much you weigh?
Well, I can't tell you that either. A woman's weight is a secret, you see.
If you can't tell me that, can you tell me why you and Daddy split up?
Someday I'll explain it to you, but it's all quite complicated and I don't think you'd understand.
The next day at school, the boy was having a conversation with his best friend, who told him that his mother's driver's license would contain all of his answers. Upon hearing this, the boy would go home and successfully steal his mother's wallet in order to see her driver's license. After doing so, the boy went to his mother and said,
Mommy, I know how old you are. You are 31, and I also know how much you weigh, too.
Oh?
And how much is that?
You weigh 126 pounds. Plus, I even know why Daddy left.
Really?
Why is that, son?
It's because you got an F in sex.
So stupid. It's so stupid. Like, I can't find, I like to do is like, oh. Your stance is too wild. Like, yo, hold on. That's stupid. That's
but it made you laugh.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
And that's what we're all about here is making you laugh. Yeah. So get over it, bitches.
Yeah.
This is an epic little intro, though. I like
it. Is.
Yeah, it is.
It totally betrays how the actual speed of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it make you feel like something else, then you're like, nah.
It's like a warm up. Get your ass
for
on
real.
The floor.
For real.
All right, here we go. Turn on the tube. Well, I see a whole lot of people crying. Ooh. Don't blame me. But point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves.
Alrighty, guys, that's the show for us today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Love you. Website is yourweeklydose.com. Find us on X and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. If you want to email us, you can at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yep, yep. And you can find me everywhere, Lyric Johnson or Sketchy Budget Entertainment on all your socials.
Yep. Brown Waters, look me up. Find me.
It's a pleasure. Here we go.
I like find me. Find me. I don't know where I'm going to be. You know but find me.
I'll be everywhere. That's what I'm saying.
I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. Just find me. Just find me. And guys, if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. Simple as that. And we are out of here, guys. Enjoy the Academy Awards tomorrow. I know we are going to get together here at my place and sit down, have some fun, watch it. Don't forget, it's going to start earlier this year. 4 o'clock. Instead of 5, an hour early.
That's our time?
Yeah, an hour early. Because they happened here in Los Angeles.
So that means
in
7
Hollywood. That's right.
Washington, New York.
Yeah. And so we're going to start an hour early just for everybody else. It's still going to end at the same time, but we're going to start an hour early.
Is that what time would that be in Indiana? For my
in Indiana?
So that'd be, six,
what's that, 2
right?
hours? 2 hours?
2 hours, 6.
So 6.
Okay, nighttime already.
There you go. All right, guys, be good to each other. Take care. Have fun.
Peace.
Love you.
Get over it.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.